Wonderful. I'd like us to pray for our world this morning. What's going to kind of help us is that we have a missions team in Cuenca, Ecuador right now that are ministering. And I got to tell you, ministering in a tremendous, tremendous way. I've seen all kinds of videos and how they're ministering to hundreds of children. And it's a beautiful thing. But it is part of our responsibility as believers in Christ to pray for our world. And so if you would just pray with me. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for our freedoms today, that we could gather at a place like this and to be able to freely do it without fear, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray for our world. And Lord, we have sent some people over to Cuenca, Ecuador, and they are ministering to people really on a way southern part of the world from where we are and far away from home. But the love of Jesus is being poured out, and we want to pray for them. We want to pray for all that they're ministering to. Lord, keep them all healthy and safe. But beyond that, Lord God, an anointing of the Spirit, Lord. You are anointing them right now. So many people are praying, and we thank you for that, Lord God. And as that's sort of a representation of praying for the world, it's hard to pray for the whole world. But Lord, we have sent them out into the world. Lord God, bless them, Lord God. May the name of Jesus be made famous. And Lord God, I want to pray that many souls come to Christ. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So glad you guys are here today. Thanks for not going camping. Oh, no. So glad that you're here. I'm excited to bring the Word of God to you. I've entitled this message, Freedom You Can't Lose. And so in the season when we're nearing Independence Day, I guess that's Thursday, isn't that right? It's caused me to think about our personal freedoms and how they came about and really how long they would last. And, you know, when I begin to come to some sort of despair when I think of the different places and where our culture is headed, I'm quickly reminded of something else. The real freedom that Christ can bring, and that's what we're going to end up talking about today, because it's going to override anything that happens in this world, anything that happens with government, anything that happens with culture. And it's a freedom that we can't lose. And Jesus said in John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, there's obviously been many wars over time and at times a loss of freedom to those who were conquered. And each victory, though it seems permanent at the time, it always has a shelf life. Whenever there is regime change, an empire is changed, always a shelf life. It's not going to last forever. And someone at some point is going to try and take you down. So human freedom has never been permanent because man, you know, without God, man is sinful and power hungry. Man left to his own devices can also be immoral and unethical. And much of this having to do with pride, okay? And I did a little bit of research. I'm familiar with these regimes because they're in the Bible, so I'm going to just mention a few that have come and gone, like the Assyrian Empire that was 858 B.C. to 612 B.C., so we're talking, what, 240 years, something like that. They were then defeated by the Babylonians. We're very familiar with the Babylonians. We've got Nebuchadnezzar and all of that. But, you know, the Babylonian Empire really didn't last very long. Just lots of things happened biblically during that time. And so that was about, I think it was 605 BC from one resource that I had to 539 BC. That really is not very long. We're talking close to 70 years. And they were overtaken by the Medes and the Persians, and they destroyed Babylon, and they were established by Cyrus the Great. And then that was ended. That regime was ended. But for, you know, a while later, about 300 years later, and that was the Greeks, the Grecians, Alexander the Great, went and conquered all kinds of peoples in an amazing, actually was prophetically predicted, but he conquered much of the known world. And so then it was the Greeks. And then the Greeks lasted from about 331 BC to 31 BC. That's about 300 years. And then, of course, we have the Roman Empire. That lasted another 300 years or so. You know, it's hard to say when things officially fall, you know, a lot of the time, but they were eventually, they fell to the Germanic invasion. There were lots of reasons that Rome fell, as we know. But we're going to fast forward to the 20th century. Now, there were some things that happened in the 20th century when you look back. There were the collapse of seven great empires. Some of these I didn't think much about. One was Mandarin China. Of course, we know about Germany fell. Austria-Hungary, Ottoman Turkey, Japan, the British Empire, and twice over in the case of Tsarist and Soviet Russia. So that was all these, it's not that they entirely disappeared, but that their great power was greatly diminished just in the last century. And I say all of this to say that throughout history there have been many kingdoms that I'm sure if you supported these kingdoms and were happy they were in power, you kind of thought they were going to last forever. But none do. And sometimes they're overthrown by other countries, sometimes other leaders, sometimes they fall from within. We've seen that as well. Sometimes there's revolt because of mistreatment, or people are hungry, really mistreated. Sometimes it's because of power-hungry people needing to attain more land, more peoples, more control. Sometimes there's moral decay that takes place over a long period of time, and that causes a crumbling of culture. And you would think that after we have seen this so many times throughout history, that we would learn that lesson, but it doesn't seem like that we do. And what I want to say about this is all human freedom from an earthly perspective is a fleeting thing. And now, as I said a couple weeks ago, our country is, to me, still the greatest in the world. I haven't been to all the countries in the world. I've been a few places. I love the United States. But don't you get the sense sometimes that even the United States is vulnerable? I do. Yeah, we're vulnerable. We've been so strong, it seems, for so long, that it seems like, wow, this is just what we know. Freedom is just what we know. But it's in danger of falling from power, losing its significance in the world. You know, whether it's from outside control or by crumbling from within, whether that be morally or economically. I want to give you a couple quotes from Abraham Lincoln, who's one of my favorites, as many of you know. He understood what would eventually happen to those who denied freedom to other people. He said this: "Those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves, and under a just God cannot long retain it." He also understood that a united country under God's direction was the only way that it could last. He said this in the Gettysburg Address. He said that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. And certainly during the Civil War, Lincoln could see that the nation was in danger of falling apart by being divided. Many of you know it was North and South, and it was pretty well divided that way in our country. There were issues that are similar to what we have today, where local governments, they didn't want to be controlled by a central government. Now, there were different reasons for that. But one of the main differences between now and back then was the cause or the reason why they wanted to be. And there were several reasons, but I'm going to read something that Ulysses S. Grant said when he was speaking of the South and the reason they were fighting. And he said it was one of the worst for which a people ever fought, and one for which there was the least excuse. And as we know, one of the main reasons they fought was to keep their way of life, which just so happened to include slavery, and to keep their cotton industry succeeding by having inexpensive labor. That was one of the big reasons. Well, in many ways, our country has come a long way regarding human rights and freedom. Although I have to say our country certainly seems to be split once again, and it has been very stark, and it's happened very quickly. And it's how that freedom is delegated, and freedom has taken a strange twist in the last few years. There's disputes on parental rights, which I would have thought were everyone understood that parents have rights. That's crazy to me. And the freedom to parent. The rights of the unborn. The right to change your body to be anything you want it to be, including young children having that right. And may I say that the freedom of religion is also at stake and disputed. And can I just say, certainly as a believing Christian, but also I just want to say a normal, common sense kind of person would think many of these things are quite insane. You just kind of go, what? What? And you're constantly barraged with this. Yeah. And, you know, especially in the light of what God's word says about where to live our lives. And it's a stark contrast. But I want to say that Satan is a liar and Satan is a deceiver. And I want us to remember that last word, because this is what we're seeing. We are seeing many people being deceived into believing lies. And, you know, if a Christian, even if you consider yourself, like I said, a common sense kind of person, you find yourself scratching your head and going, how can people believe this stuff? Well, you know, the children have the mental, I mean, think about it. You're fed this line, this is almost the craziest to me, that children somehow have the mental and emotional capacity to choose what kind of gender they want to be. I mean, has anybody raised kids? I just want to go, what are you thinking? And I could go on and on. I mean, there's all kinds of things. But people are believing this because Satan is a deceiver. And he will twist things so that it somehow makes sense. I don't know how, but it seems to be making sense to a lot of people. And he has turned freedom into something it was never meant to be. He has twisted it. Can you say amen? Yeah. So I think it's quite obvious to us. Well, the search for freedom, to be able to live as you want, to be able to be unenslaved, to not be controlled by others without your consent, has always been a constant struggle throughout the world. But today, in the land of the free, Satan has twisted the definition of freedom to be something it was never meant to be. Now, when Christ came to the earth and many people saw his miracles and they heard his teaching, they once again, they thought in terms of Christ being able to free them. But many were not looking for a freedom from within, but a freedom, from the control of the Romans, that they could be free to live, which, hey, that's an honest pursuit. And in Jesus' time, the Jews had been waiting thousands of years for the Messiah. And they were oppressed by various people groups over the years, and we still see this today, don't we? But in the Bible, you see the Philistines, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks. And at the time of Christ, it was the Romans. John chapter 6 gives us some insight to the fact that the Jews wanted to make Jesus king, as they thought that he would be a political Messiah. John 16, 14, and 15, I think we'll have that, thank you. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Hallelujah. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So they thought, hey, if Moses led the people from Egyptian bondage, well, there's a lot of references that the coming Messiah would be like Moses in some ways. And they thought, wow, he's going to come and free us from the Romans. Okay? And they saw Jesus from a worldly perspective. But, really, can you blame them? I mean, imagine us. What if our country was overtaken like by China or by the Muslim nations or something like that, and they ruled with a heavy hand, okay? We would want our freedom, just as they did. They wanted their freedom. And, that's where I have to say, today is a great day to be thankful that we have freedom in this country. It's one of the greatest attributes you can have is to be thankful in all things, but also with our freedoms here. This kind of freedom that they were looking to Jesus for and the kind of king is not what Jesus came to the earth to be or to do. And I'm going to look at Luke chapter 4, the first part that won't be on your screen. But it says this, it says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, found the place where it was written. It says this in Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Wow, that must have been quite a moment when Jesus did this. Everyone knew that he was something special, and he stands up and reads and says, "It's me. I'm the guy. I'm the guy you've been looking for. Right here." So in a general sense, the Jews looked to God over the years, but now Jesus is offering them something that they've been longing for, which is freedom, but a different kind of freedom, a freedom that's not controlled by outside forces, but one that no one can change, the freedom that comes through the salvation of Christ, the gospel of Christ, that God's Son came to live and die for the sins of humanity, and that's the only true freedom that there is. Everything else is transitory. As great as freedom is, on this earth, it doesn't last forever. Okay? Where you are, I mean, I pray that my children and my grandchildren will be able to live in a free country. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. But history has shown us, usually regimes last about around 300 years. Let's see, how old is ours? 1876, 1976, 248. Yeah, and we see some things happening. John 8:36, that's what I began with. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So Jesus was not setting us free to do whatever we wanted. He was setting us free to live the way we ought to. Okay? And he was liberating us, freeing us to walk in relationship with God and to be the kind of people he created us to be. Now, he said to the Pharisees that we are slaves to what? Sin. He said we are slaves to sin. He came to set us free from that sin, that stronghold in our lives. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I'll stop there. Hebrews 11 is talking about all of these heroes of the faith. So this is what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. And it says, let us also lay aside every weight. So this would weigh us down. And sin, which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So the scripture speaks of being weighed down by sin. And that when that sin is laid aside, then we're able to run. We're able to run the race. We're not able to run the race when sin is weighing us down all the time. And it has the connotation of freedom. Okay? Now, I remember when I went out for football in middle school, and I was fairly short when I was in middle school. I've been 6 feet for quite a while, but that didn't happen until I was like a sophomore in high school. I was about 6 inches shorter than that, I think. And so I went out for football, and for some reason, I got these pads that were way too big. So big shoulder pads, you know, knee pads, everything was too big and weighed too much. I'll never forget that because it was hot outside. You know, it's the end of summer, and I can remember running wind sprints, and I mean, I thought I was going to die. I was thinking, this is not fun. What am I doing out here? This is not fun at all. And I'll never forget taking all those off. I was just a sweaty mess and just going, this is football? So I finished the season, but I ended up being more of a basketball track guy. You don't have to wear any pads. But anyway, I could just really, really remember that. And it's how it is when sin was lifted from us by accepting Christ's sacrifice. We're not weighed down by guilt, by all those pads. We're free. And I remember distinctly, especially the morning after I was saved, I felt like the weight of the world was off my shoulders. I felt like I was walking a foot off the ground. Did I feel that? I don't usually like to talk too much about living by feelings. I don't believe in it a lot of the time. But some things do make you feel things, for sure. And being freed from sin is something that will make you feel something. Yeah. How many have ever experienced that in your life? Raise your hand. Yeah, lots of you. Lots of you. Philippians 1:21, this is the Apostle Paul. I'm going to dive into this here. Says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Many of us know this. And I'm going to read the rest of that scripture. It will not be on your screen. It says, he says, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. So we go back to that original statement, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And now that is living in true freedom. I'm going to explain that. Having the faith and confidence to know that God has all things in his hand. So to live in Christ, to live as Christ means that Christ is everything to you, and that your decisions, your dreams, your goals are all centered around Christ's desires for your life, and so that you can make a difference in the lives of other people and share Christ with them and live that way for them, so that they will come to know him and they could be free. That's to live as Christ, and that's what Paul is talking about. You're going to love him no matter what comes out of those gates, which is a reference to a movie, and no matter what danger comes out of the gates of life, okay? And there's a lot of things that come our way. No matter what, you're going to love him. But he also says, but if God so chooses to take you home to be with him, so much the better, says Paul. But he knows he needs to stay and minister. There was an image that was presented by a preacher I heard once many years ago. I think I shared this a long, long time ago. But I'm going to share it again because it has stuck with me. And when I think of freedom and I think of safety, I think of security, this is the image that I think of. It was when I was going to a small Assemblies of God church down in San Luis Obispo, California. And there was probably, back then we used to have these evangelists come through. And they would come through Sunday through Wednesday, usually. And so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, our church wasn't very big. And so this was during the week. So, we maybe had 40 people there, maybe. And what I heard that night was one of the greatest sermons I have ever heard. It was so powerful. And the image that this guy presented was he had this dream. In this dream, there was this lion that was the most imposing, large, huge lion that just exuded power. And the lion was sitting there like a lion would do, sitting up. And in his dream, he was a little boy. And he had his hand in the mane of the lion, which is an image that I have always remembered. And as long as the lion was with him, or as long as he was with the lion, he need have no fear. Revelation 5:5 says, and one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. So in the book of Revelation, Jesus is described as the lion of Judah. There's also some scriptures in Genesis that talk about Judah being a lion cub and things like that. There can be no better picture than our hand in the mane of that lion, for then we have no fear because he is over all. He is the lion. He has all power. And whether we go through life or whether we go through death, we don't have to fear. And we can live in freedom, knowing that no matter what happens, my hand's in the mane of the lion. And I don't have to fear because he's with me. He's with me and he's with you. The exact details of Paul's death are unknown. It's not related in the Bible. But tradition holds, this is where it gets a little PG-13, tradition holds that he was beheaded in Rome. And so he thus died as a martyr for his faith. And you know, when Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain, it's absolute freedom. And in his case, if this is true, this tradition, then when he laid his head on that chop block and the executioner was waiting, Paul continued to know true freedom, real freedom. To live as Christ, to die as gain. And he had his hand in the mane of the lion all the way to the end. All the way to the end. And friends, you can too. You can too, just like Paul. And live in freedom. No matter what happens in this country, in this world. The Bible talks about some things that you're going to hear about some things on these Wednesday night videos. Some of the things that the Bible says are going to happen. And we have to be with the Lion of Judah. If the worship team could come up, that'd be great. We celebrate our freedom today, but we as believers in Christ, the Lion of Judah. And you know why he's the Lion of Judah? He's the Lion of Judah because he was also the Lamb. He was also the Lamb, the Lamb who was humble and was sacrificed for our sins. The Lion of Judah was the Lamb and sacrificed. Think about that. And because he went through that, now he has all power. Now, God has always had all power. But in order for us to be saved, Christ had to go through this. But he is over all. He was the Lamb, and he's the Lion. He's the Lion. You know, and when you have the Lion of Judah, no matter what anyone says to you, no matter what anybody does to you, no matter what happens in our country, good or bad, happens with our government, good or bad, because there's both that come out of government, as we know, no matter, you can be truly free anyway. Because whom the Son sets free, indeed, and that is a freedom that you cannot lose. Would you bow your head with me? Lord, thank you for freedom. Thank you, Lord, that we can live in this country of ours without fear. Now, Lord, we've talked about different things today, and there are some things in our country that are concerning for sure and could cause us to be anxious, to be fearful. But Lord, make us strong like you are strong, Lord. And we're strong because of you. Because of you. Lord, I want to pray for those who today might be living in fear. And Lord, I just want to pray, Lord Jesus, that you would reveal to them the power, the security, the peace that comes through having our fist full of the mane of the Lion of Judah, Lord God, and that no matter where we walk, you are there. You are there, and we don't have to fear. And Lord, remind us of that every day, every day. And Lord, those that may have sin in their lives that's weighing them down, Lord, you came that we could be free. Free from something that weighs us down. And so, Lord, just want to pray that this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to ask this question. If anybody in here has never accepted Christ into their life and you don't know true freedom and you're like, I want that. It's very easy. You just have to believe that Jesus lived, Jesus died and rose again. And you will be saved. And if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand with nobody looking around. Just raise your hand right where you are, and you'd like to accept Christ today. Fantastic. I see you in the back there. Great. A couple of you. All right. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just want to pray for these two that have raised their hand. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just come into their life, that their hearts would be turned over to you, Lord God, and that the weight of sin, Lord God, would be lifted as they ask your forgiveness, Lord God, for what they have done. Because you are so quick to come in, and we thank you for it. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for freedom today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Let's all stand up. We are going to close with a great song of freedom. Now, so glad I remembered this. If you have children downstairs, and we are going to have our hot dog lunch downstairs in the fellowship hall. And so we kind of need you to get your kids, okay? So you can go get them now. And then we're going to dismiss the seniors right after we sing this song. So if you need to get your kids, go for it, okay? Okay.